Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to an encore edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we take your questions coming in from around the world. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. This is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Joe Dallas. He has a brand new book out. It's titled Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and with Clarity. And I was just thinking about a testimony that I was reading today, and this is something that I want to use as an example. Someone writing in saying, "Hi, I want to send thanks to CRI and Hank Hanegraaff for his show. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, which I listen to on Sirius XM, is fantastic. Hank is articulate, thorough, knowledgeable, and I'm amazed at the way he gently addresses the caller's questions, even when it's obvious that the caller is being belligerent. He effectively diffuses negativity while simultaneously delivering a response that is gently put forward that it would make even the angriest caller listen with interest. He has a gift, and I am so pleased that this show is being aired. What a wonderful way to get the gospel out to the multitudes. I look forward to hearing the broadcast every single day and constantly glean new insight into God's Word as well. I'm very grateful for the broadcast." This by Christine, and we appreciate your kind comments, but they also are relevant to the topic at hand. The idea is not to win arguments, but to win people, to use our well-reasoned answers as springboards or opportunities to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. And again, no one does that on a difficult subject like homosexuality better than Joe Dallas, and that's why I'm so pleased with this, the best of his books. I mean, they're all great, but I didn't think he could top his last one. This is a fantastic resource. And I'm not kidding when I say that there's not a single Christian home that should be without this in their hand. It's laid out as an easy reference work in many ways. It's just user-friendly. It's fantastic, and it's available for your support. Joe, good to have you back on the broadcast.
Great being here. Thank you, Hank.
A lot of people, Joe, will tell you that homosexuality is inborn, that sexual orientation cannot be changed, and because of that, they say, must be acceptable. God must have intended it to be that way. How do you respond?
Well, you can challenge both the accuracy of those statements at face value, and you can also challenge what they imply. And we talk about both of these in the book, the inborn argument and the immutability argument. I'm sure you know, Hank, that now more than ever, if something is repeated often enough in the 24-hour news cycle and in sound bites, we are in a time when people hear a good deal of information which goes unexamined. They tend not to look it up for themselves. And so a lot of people assume that it has been verified that homosexuality is inborn, when in fact it has not. It is still speculated. It is suggested. The scientific and medical communities are by no means in unanimous agreement that this is something that is inborn, and probably we will never find one single cause for homosexuality. Doctrinally, I believe it's one of many manifestations of fallen nature. Apart from that, we can only speculate on the many elements that create it, but it certainly hasn't been proven to be inborn. But the broader question is, even if something is inborn, does that alone legitimize it? Because some very good research has indicated that other tendencies, like the tendencies towards addictive behavior or depression or even violence, may have genetic or biological components to them. We surely would not legitimize those behaviors just because they may have inborn components. The same is true of the immutability argument. I think it depends on what you mean by immutable. When I repented of homosexuality, I repented of a behavior. I stopped the behavior. Believe me, if that was the only change in my life that happened, that would have been a ginormous change. When someone changes a behavior, which they have come to realize is wrong, that alone is sufficient, although not the only change available. It's certainly a very beneficial one. But it's also true that the less we express a desire, the less control that desire is going to have over us. So I think a lot of people put it in an either-or camp, and they say, okay, if you could stop the behavior, but you still ever have any temptations towards the behavior, you never changed at all. Which is nonsense if you think about it. If you used to beat people up, Hank, I know you didn't, but if you did, and you stopped doing it, but occasionally you still felt like punching somebody out, could any reasonable person really say you didn't change? Of course not. So I think both the inborn and immutability argument suggest that if something is deeply ingrained, it must have been ordained by God, and that bypasses the doctrinal truth that we are a fallen race, that many tendencies, desires, patterns are experienced by humans that God never meant them to experience. I mean, that's one of the major points of what we often call the curse when God told Adam and Eve, because of sin, you will now experience things I never meant you to experience. That alone cannot legitimize a behavior then. No matter what causes it, that is secondary to the thing itself. We go by a higher standard than origins when we determine whether something is right or wrong.
Talking to Joe Dallas, the book Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity, available for your support. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of people hanging on for Joe. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Timothy, listening in St. Louis, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Timothy.
How you doing, brother? Just want to first off say that I appreciate you having the courage to take on this subject, and also having the wisdom to have someone like Joe Dallas on regularly speak to this issue. Joe, you had a sermon, I believe I got it for folks on the family, called It's Not Gay, and it really helped to open my eyes and to change my perspective on this. And, it really is true. When you don't understand something, you kind of fear it. And because of the discussion and because of Hank, you addressed this issue, it really has helped me to see there's no difference in the homosexual or same-sex attraction and any other sexual sin. And so I just wanted to call in and say thank you both for that. God bless you and keep it up.
Well, Timothy, thank you so much for the encouragement. I will hold on to that. That was a shot in the arm I really needed today. I know when I'm speaking, whether it's an interview or a conference or whatever, of course I hope that the person who is practicing the sin will feel conviction and will feel a call to repentance. But I also hope that Christians who hear will have their hearts softened without their position being changed. And I think we can have both. I think we can hold tightly to the right position, but have more tender hearts towards people who aren't living up to that position. So it means a lot to me that you would take the time to let us know that. And again, I thank you for it, Timothy.
And back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Justin, listening in Kansas. Hi, Justin. You're on with Joe Dallas.
Hi, everybody. This is an amazing conversation. Since being saved by God's grace last year, I've also kind of thought this through, and I've been persecuted because I preach Jesus' love. And when I do that, and I explain the situation you're talking about today about homosexuality, how God gave us man and woman to reproduce, and that we all live in sin, because I'm an alcoholic that has overcome that, so I understand the sin part. But when we expand to where we have to accept men as women, or men that decide to be women, or women that have to decide to be men just to go to somebody else's bathroom, we're expanding from what God created us as. So how do we overcome that? If that is God's true vision, that he created us as one, as our own entity, in his image, how do we argue people that try to manipulate that in him?
Well, Justin, I think you described it pretty well, actually, in leading up to your question. We really cannot change what is. We can only desire what is not. Those are two very different things. I think what you and I especially are, and many other believers are resisting, is the demand to comply with or join in this delusion. I will grant that as one citizen to another, one human to another, if a transsexual person says, I was born male, but I believe I am female, and therefore I am going to live as a female, I will certainly grant that person's right to do so. I cannot override that person's free will. And so I will grant they should be able to make that decision. But I will certainly draw the line when they tell me I must join them in their belief that they are something other than what they are. When they tell me that they should therefore be able to use the bathroom with my wife or shower with my daughter when they are anatomically male, then I would say no. You are asking me to join you in a delusion. And I am not willing to do that. I'm not willing to say I agree with your decision. I will only say you have the right to make it. And I will resist your attempts to codify your decision into laws that force us to comply with something which really is counterintuitive. I think, to get on my soapbox for a minute here, we as a culture are forcing a counterintuitive decision on the entire population. I think most people would conclude that if you're born a male, you will remain a male, and that you should not be able to invade the very intimate settings like bathrooms and showers of females. And yet the laws are pushing people to bypass what is intuitive to them, whether they're believers or not, and force upon them a counterintuitive position. And I do think that this is something we should resist. We can do it in love, we can do it with compassion, but I still think we need to do it.
Joe, talk about the phobia word. That seems to be a conversation stopper. Homophobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia. The phobia word is in many ways another way of saying not just that you're afraid, but that you're a hater.
Yeah, it's very Orwellian, isn't it? It really harkens back to what George Orwell wrote about in 1984, the clever manipulation of language by the dominant political party, because if you can manipulate the meanings of words, you basically own the debate. One of the cleverest things we've done, or I think that people have done in this country, to promote a revision of our beliefs about sexual behavior is to first convince people that it is very hateful to object to homosexuality or to object to transsexualism. Therefore, the only people who object to it must be haters. Therefore, you don't just hold a belief that homosexuality is wrong, you are homophobic. Or you don't just hold the belief that transsexualism is wrong, you are transphobic. That way, if you are seen as someone who has a condition which makes you hateful and bigoted, you have no credibility. You have no credibility, you have no influence. So you've basically taken away the voices of people who object to homosexuality, not by reasoning with them, but by labeling them.
Joe Dallas, again, the book, Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our wonderful resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We're going to be right back with Joe and more of your questions coming in from all around the world. This is an important topic when we talk about the foundation of life, foundational to all civilization. There's a pillar on that foundation, and that has to do with the family. And once you start tampering with gender differentiated parenting, it has a draconian effect on human civilization. So what we're talking about is not peripheral, it's central, it's critical. We'll be right back as Joe answers more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
About Joe Dallas and his new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, Hank Hanegraaff says, "No one understands the subject of same-sex sexuality better than my friend Joe Dallas. This book, his best yet, only confirms my conviction. I'm not speaking merely of Joe's formidable knowledge of truth, but also the wisdom of its application through crystal clear and concise communication. In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, Speaking of Homosexuality will equip you to engage a topic that is foundational to human civilization." Hank would like to send you Joe's book as our thank you for your support of CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now.
Again, that's equip.org.
Not long ago, the gay rights movement was asking that homosexual people be treated fairly and with respect. But today, mere legitimization is not enough. The gay rights movement now demands, with all the subtlety of a socialist purge, the punishment of anyone objecting to that legitimization. The new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, equips readers to respond to this volatile issue with reason and compassion. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Taking calls for Joe Dallas today on his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. It is available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Many of you hanging on. Let's go right back to the phone calls. Kay next in Missouri. You're on with Joe.
Oh, hi, Joe. My question is, first I need to give you some background. Our son came out as gay 13 years ago when he was in high school. And I almost lost my faith, and terror filled me. I was just full of terror because I thought it was so dangerous, you know, for him to be that way. But I was also looking at my Facebook the other day, and there was a lady on there that was ranting and raving and just going ballistic about the homosexuality is why we're going to hell in a handbasket. And
oh, whoa, we just lost Kay. Joe, I think you can probably respond to what she had to say, and maybe she'll call back. I don't know what happened to the connection.
I think that Kay was sharing with us an example of a position that homosexuality is not God's will, taken and sort of put on steroids. I think you can hold the right position in the wrong way, and I think that's what she just described. I think that when we look at homosexuality as one of many behaviors falling short of God's will, we are looking at it properly. When we view it as a sin greater in depth than all other sins, or as the primary reason God's judgment is coming on America or whatever, then, of course, I think we're wrong. I think we're distorting it. I think we're conflating it. So I think that, again, balance is called for. I think that there's no question that God never intended homosexual behavior to be legitimized. There's also no question that there are many other equally serious sins, both sexual and non-sexual, he also never meant us to legitimize.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joe. She's listening on KCCV. Joe, you're on with Joe Dallas.
Hi, Hank. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
My question has to do with, well, first let me tell you, I've been working with a group of new atheists and witnessing with them for several months now. And one of them asked me a question about Sodom and Lot. And when the two angels came to Lot, he took them into his house for protection. And when the crowd came to his door and said for Lot to give them, the two men, Lot, went outside to meet them. Lot was offering up his two daughters. And the question was, if Lot had turned the two daughters over, the crowd could have made them sleep with women, so therefore God must think homosexuality is okay. We know it's not, but that was their thinking. And I didn't know quite how to answer that. I showed them the scriptures in the New Testament, but they said, but Lot, you know, was favored by God, and he gave up was willing to give up his two daughters. How would you answer that?
Well, I think it is a distortion of the story. The Genesis account does not commend Lot for offering up his daughters. It simply says that he did, and that says something about the state of Sodom in general. Remember that before the angels were sent to Lot's home, they told Abram that the place was exceedingly wicked, and Lot himself and his family were no doubt to some extent influenced by that city's wickedness. And I think part of that is shown in his willingness to offer up his daughters to appease these men, and it is shown later in the daughter's willingness to actually copulate with her own father for the sake of having children and preserving the family line. So I don't think there's anything commendable in what he did. I think it only shows that he was making a desperate effort to keep the men of Sodom from raping the two men, angels, but he, you know, saw them as men, who were staying in his home. And I think that's the gist of the story. It's a depraved story. Nobody comes out of it looking very good, honestly. And I don't think we can take any moral cues from the behavior of anyone involved.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bill, listening in Smyrna, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. You're on with Joe Dallas. Hi, Bill.
Howdy. How you doing?
Doing well.
Well, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. First of all, we're called homophobes, you know, by the homosexual community. You know, why aren't they considered to be Christophobes? And, you know, to me, it's you know, that's really what they're being. They're being Christophobes, you know. And then, you know, by the same token, there's just other aspects of it, too, you know, that we don't look at both sides of the story and say, hey, look, what they're doing is just exactly the opposite. And why aren't we looking at them and saying, hey, look, what you're doing is the same thing except against us.
So your question for Joe is?
Well, you know, why aren't we approaching them in the same manner that they're approaching us? Why aren't we resisting this? Because it's gotten to be such a tremendous point, I guess, in society that all Christians are homophobes.
Bill, I think you're bringing up some important points. Let's, of course, remember, though, Paul told the Romans, be not overcome with evil, overcome evil with good. Very important point. We don't want to adopt people's practices or tactics just because those tactics may have worked well for them. But I do think you're right in saying we can point out the double standard. I think that it is unfair to resort to name-calling and labeling, so we can point it out to them when they are doing that to us. In fairness, I think most people in the gay rights movement are not having aggression or you know, expressing vitriol against all Christians. I think it's okay these days to be a Christian if you just express a faith in Jesus Christ in general. But if you get into the specifics of the faith about human sexuality, that's the kind of Christian that is going to be targeted for the name-calling. By and large, I don't think most homosexuals have animosity towards Christians. I think the gay rights movement, made up of homo and heterosexuals, has a specific animosity, a real hostility towards Christians who hold a traditional viewpoint on marriage and sexuality. And I think that that's a distinction we should keep in mind.
Joe, a lot of people will say Christians were wrong when it came to slavery. They were wrong when it came to racism. They were wrong when it came to gender. And therefore, it stands to reason that they're also wrong when it comes to the subject of same-sex sexuality. Talk about the difference between identity and behavior.
Yeah, it's not a very good comparison that they're making. First of all, we know from history, Hank, that not all Christians supported slavery. We know from history that not all Christians supported discrimination. Many Christians opposed slavery. The abolitionist movement contained many Christians. Many Christians were marching for the civil rights movement in the late 50s and the early to mid 60s. So it's very inaccurate to just paint all of Christians with that broad brush that all of them were wrong at that time. But more to the point, the question I would raise is, if people have been wrong in the past, does that mean they cannot be right in the present? Because if that's the case, nobody can ever be right. Segments of the church have been wrong in the past. Not all of the church, segments of the church. But all that tells us is that we have the capacity to be wrong. Well, okay, I get that. We do. The question becomes, though, on this issue, are we wrong? We have to look at the issue itself, not the fact that someone was wrong about other issues in the past. And the issues are not similar. People who believe that one race is inferior to another are racist. Christians today do not believe homosexuals are inferior to heterosexuals. We object to the homosexual act. Hank, in the average Bible-believing church, if someone says, I am homosexual in my desires, but I do not act on those desires, I seek to live a holy life, most churches would say, well, welcome, brother. Join the rest of us who struggle with whatever sinful tendencies we have, and we seek to live obedient lives. Now, racists never made such a distinction. Racists never said to African Americans, well, if you're African American in your race, that's okay, as long as you never commit an African American act. Whoever said that? Racists wanted separation from racial minorities. They wanted separate drinking fountains, separate theaters, separate accommodations. Nobody today is asking for that. Christians today, no matter how conservative, are not asking for separate drinking fountains for homosexuals and heterosexuals, different theaters, different restrooms. That's nonsense. We are only saying there is an act we object to as being immoral and outside of God's will. And that's a far cry from the racist who said that you as a person in your entirety are inferior to me. It's a very poor comparison.
A lot of people will say, Joe, the very fact that you're bringing this up means that you have a phobia about it because you're not bringing up adultery and a lot of other things. You're so fixated on this homosexual thing. How do you respond?
I would say that to point out that something is wrong is not to be fixated on it at the expense of other things, number one. And number two, I would point out, in all fairness, we are not being pressured today, Hank, to legitimize adultery or fornication or even pornography, although the practice of using porn is very widespread. The Church of Jesus Christ today is not being asked to revise its position on these other sexual matters. We are being primarily asked to revise our position on homosexuality. And that's specifically why I felt the need to write a book on that topic. If we were being pressured to revise our position on adultery or fornication, I certainly would have written a book on either of those topics as well.
And not a better book on the subject than Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. It's absolutely fantastic. I read it again this weekend. I did an endorsement for the book a while back, so I read the manuscript, but I read it again this weekend and thought, wow, this is a well-written book. It's accessible. I love the talking points at the end of every chapter. They give you a real handle on the material. Again, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We are in the last quarter of the year. We've got some deficits to make up. Anything you can do, if you have some of the Lord's money invested in this ministry, as the Lord leads you, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Right back with more Joe Dallas.
Few, if any, could have predicted it, yet the moral fabric of our culture is radically changing. What is now increasingly mainstream is a pervasive acceptance of homosexuality that was inconceivable a mere generation ago. And because of the dizzying speed of change, many Christians are ill-prepared to deal with the implications. Joe Dallas offers an informed and caring response in his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. Receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back right after the break. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. When a family member or friend says, "I'm gay," it can be very difficult to hear, but also difficult for the same-sex attracted person to utter. In these heartbreaking situations, having the right response is crucial. Few can navigate these troubled waters like Joe Dallas. In his book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says, "I'm Gay," Joe offers experience and compassionate counsel for those whose loved ones struggle with homosexual desire. Receive your copy of When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's return now to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking to Joe Dallas today, his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issue with kindness and clarity. I love that subtitle. The book available, again, for those who support the ministry, check it out on the web, equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants as well, standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. We continue with taking calls with our guest, Joe Dallas, next on the phone lines with Joe Chuck, listening in California. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, I'm just wondering, what, get your thoughts on this here. Hollywood seems to have such an impact on all the television shows, movies. Everything else seems like they're trying to normalize homosexuality. And I would love to see them, we have to put a label, have to put the HC out there. So when I go to the movies, I can see HC, and I don't care to see that stuff, so I don't want to spend my money and be offended. Well, that's one of the things that really bothers me. I practically won't watch any new television shows. It seems like 80 to 90% of them have some type of a homosexual agenda to try to normalize things. What do you think about that? Can we get that done somehow? What's it going to take?
And I'm very sorry, Chuck. I couldn't quite catch the part of your question as to what you would like to see us get done. I fully agree that Hollywood is committed to normalizing homosexuality and has done a very good job in achieving what they've wanted to achieve. What would you like to see us do in response to that?
Joe, my thought about this is perhaps this is in the vein of whether we're willing to do for the truth what the culture is willing to do for those things that do not correspond to reality.
Well, I certainly wish we would put our creative heads together and try to come up with our own stories. You know, Hank, for better or worse, and I'm kind of biased towards saying for worse, this is the age of stories. People respond to stories. Stories are very compelling. People often adopt moral positions because they hear a compelling story about a moral issue. I don't think that's the best way to arrive at a position, but that is the way people do it. And I think that if we, and I say we meaning the body of Christ, if our filmmakers, our novelists, our directors would put together some compelling stories about homosexuality and transgenderism from a biblical perspective, why, I think we could make some real inroads. I think there would be huge difficulties. Because I have found that once the gay rights movement has established its territory, and movies and TV are certainly their territory, if you try to step in there, you're in for a real firestorm. But I still would like to see that happen. I think some excellent movies have come out over the years addressing things like slavery, and I certainly think of the Gibson film on The Passion of the Christ, and I think that social issues or theological issues can be addressed well if people are willing to put the time into putting out a quality product. So, gosh, any filmmakers listening, I hope you'd take up the challenge to touch this subject. I think it could make a heck of a story.
Back to the phone lines. Tim is up next, listening in Missouri on Bot Radio. Tim, you're on with Joe Dallas.
Hi, Hank. Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. I have an estranged homosexual son who's approaching 30 years old. He's been in that lifestyle for around 7 years. He was brought up in a Christian home, very, very loved Christ so much, wrote songs. He was a musician. Even in his early 20s, we have a CD of his that just have beautiful songs of his love towards Christ. He's gotten to the point where he calls himself a pragmatic agnostic now. We've Skyped with him. He lives in California. We're in St. Louis. He's gotten to the point where he wrote us a letter recently telling us that he does not want to hear from us anymore unless we basically accept his, embrace his lifestyle, which we will not do. We've talked to him over the years about this, that we love you, you know, but we're not going to, and he knows the Word of God, and we've told him that we're not going to come against God and side with you against the Lord and against His Word, you know. We'll still love you. We want to have a relationship with you, but we cannot embrace your lifestyle. So he's written us a letter, and he's estranged. I just need some guidance. I don't know what to do. He's in California. We're in Missouri, and we can't Skype with him. He won't talk to us. He's getting some bad counseling. I know that. He was in therapy, and I know, and we wrote him a letter back, and and told him what happened to your faith, and you know, as you can tell, I'm just kind of at a loss. I don't know what to do.
I'm so sorry to hear this, Tim. I really am. It's a terrible position to be in. I think that you can appeal to him on two levels. One is on the spiritual level. You are wanting Tim to reconsider hardening his heart towards God. One is on a more natural level, and I would suggest starting with the more natural level. And if you are able to send any kind of a communication to him, I would suggest it be something like this. Is it really fair for you to cut off our relationship because we disagree? We did not cut you off because we disagreed. We respect your free will. We respect your right to believe what you choose to believe. Can you not respect ours as well? We will not try to force you, but why would you try to force us? Can we not all be adult enough to have enough mutual respect that we agree to disagree without alienating each other over this? And I think that's appealing to his adulthood, to his rational side, to his sense of fairness. And I would recommend trying to send him a message like that. Apart from that, unfortunately, I don't see much else you can do other than to remind him of two things. One, we will always love you and pray for God's will in your life. And number two, it really is not fair to cut a relationship off because of a disagreement. We wish you would reconsider that.
And a lot of people listening in, Tim, will be praying for you. This happens all the time. People let me know they hear a conversation like this, and they immediately begin to pray. And we believe that prayer ultimately is the means by which the slender nerve of omnipotence is moved, and we do pray along with you as you go through this very difficult situation. Joe, I got a question which I know you address in the book, but needs addressing on the Bible Answer Man broadcast as well. Is there such a thing as a gay Christian, or is this an oxymoron?
I hate to sound vague, but I will have to say that it depends on how you define gay, and it depends on how you define Christian. I don't like the term gay Christian. I would never apply it to someone. But if you mean, can a Christian who is genuinely born again experience homosexual desires? Definitely. Can a person who is a homosexual have ever had a saving faith in Christ? I believe so. In other words, if you define Christian as saved, can a person practicing homosexuality be saved? I will say that a Christian can sin. To what extent that Christian can continue in sin before a severe judgment comes, I'm not going to say where that line is drawn. But to me, the real question is not, can you do a certain thing and still be saved, which is just like saying, how close can I drive to the cliff? How near can I be? The real question is, can you be right if you are either practicing that sin or even identifying yourself by it? I would argue you cannot. So can you be a gay Christian? Semantically, that may be possible, but it doesn't mean you are right with God. A Christian can sin, but a true believer at some point will be compelled not to continue in that sin, because that believer has been given a new nature which cannot be satisfied with sin.
What you are saying, Joe, and perhaps we can underscore this a little more, is that if you are a participant in the kingdom, if you are following the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, eventually what's going to happen is you're going to know his precepts more fully and want to conform your life to those precepts.
Exactly, and I think this is what Paul was talking about in Romans when he said that, you know, he in a way he answered the gay Christian question when he said, what then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin continue in it? If you are a Christian, you've genuinely been born again, and you are continuing to engage in repetitive, ongoing, deliberate sin, at some point, the combination of your new nature, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Word of God in your life, the effect of the community on you, the community of other believers, all of those influences are going to converge and create in you an inability to continue celebrating and giving yourself over to that sin. A Christian can indeed go for the rest of his life being tempted towards any number of sins, but a born-again believer ultimately will not spend his life or her life yielding deliberately to these ongoing temptations, because the new nature and the position that person has in Christ simply won't allow it.
Joe, thanks for joining us on the broadcast and for writing this book. I know it's going to bless a lot of people and make a difference.
Thanks so much for having me, Hank. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Joe Dallas, again, the book, Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and with clarity, both are needed. We need to understand this issue. We need to be able to answer. We need to be able to reach as opposed to repel. I mean, that's what we're called to do. And we want to make sure that we are very aware of the beam in our own eye before we seek to pick a mote out of someone else's eye. All of us need to recognize that there, but for the grace of God, go I, and I too am a sinner. It is only the foreign righteousness of Jesus Christ that allows me to go into the presence of our Lord. The quote of the hour we close the broadcast with, it's by Christopher Lash. The attempt, he says, to redefine the family as a purely voluntary arrangement grows out of the modern delusion that people can keep all their options open all the time. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back right here next time with more of the show. Thanks for standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. Today, the gay rights movement is no longer content with mere tolerance, but rather demands wholehearted affirmation or punishment for those who don't comply. Responding to this totalitarian agenda with gentleness requires an informed and caring approach. That's why Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, as our thanks for your gift of support in the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Just call 888-7000-CRI or write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or donate online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss.
The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.